For over 35 years, the Ashcrofts have been reporting back to us concerning the work that God gave them in behind the Iron Curtain and in the refugee camp in Italy, especially ministering to Romanians who were escaping communism. And then when the wall came down, continuing back in the midst of the churches now thriving out from under the oppression of the communist system, and him able to go and to preach and to visit and to deliver literature, which has been used of God to encourage and strengthen the saints. And we followed him along the way for 35 years or so, and so it feels strange to introduce Ken and Kath Ashcroft. I think that what I need to do is, for the sake of almost all of us, to simply to welcome them. And we do welcome you. We're going to first have Mark come and read the text that we're looking at this morning, which will be Isaiah, or perhaps I should say Isaiah. Well, anyway, Isaiah chapter 51, and Mark will come and read to us Isaiah chapter 51, verses 1 to 8, and then Ken will come and minister the word of God to us.
Isaiah 51, starting in verse 1. Listen to me, you who pursue righteousness and who seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were cut and to the quarry from which you were hewn. Look to Abraham your father and to Sarah who gave you birth. When I called him, he was but one, and I blessed him and made him many. The Lord will surely comfort Zion and will look with compassion on all her ruins. He will make her deserts like Eden, her wastelands like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and the sound of singing. Listen to me, my people. Hear me, my nation. The law will go out from me. My justice will become a light to the nations. My righteousness draws near speedily. My salvation is on the way, and my arm will bring justice to the nations. The islands will look to me and wait in hope for my arm. Lift up your eyes to the heavens, look at the earth beneath. The heavens will vanish like smoke, the earth will wear out like a garment, and its inhabitants die like flies. But my salvation will last forever, my righteousness will never fail. Hear me, you who know what is right, you people who have my law in your hearts. Do not fear the reproach of men or be terrified by their insults. For the moth will eat them up like a garment, the worm will devour them like wool. But my righteousness will last forever, my salvation through all generations. Amen.
Pastor Mike opened the service, our worship service, reading Psalm 100. And it may be of interest to you, as I point out, that in the early 18th century, the hymn writer Isaac Watts based two of his wonderful hymns on that particular psalm, one being "Come Before Jehovah's Awesome Throne," and the other one, "Come All Ye People That On Earth Do Dwell." And he based, as I said just now, on that particular psalm. And the church, when we are home from Romania, and the church we attend, use what we call the hymn book, Songs of Praise. And the first two hymns are those first two that I've just mentioned of Isaac Watts, and it's written underneath, based on Psalm 100. Well, I'd love to spend time on Psalm 100 because we've been singing that song, Shout. But I must keep to the text we have just read together. In the will of God, perhaps next time I come, we can look at the Psalm 100 with its seven commands. You search Psalm 100 and you'll find the seven commands. Well, here in the reading that we had together, you will note that the prophet Isaiah, in the chapter before us, is giving an exhortation designated for the comfort of and encouragement of the Jewish captives in Babylon, in a kind of prisoner of war camp. And here he comes in with the words of comfort, telling them just trust in God. For they were there in very, very difficult circumstances, and he is exhorting them with these words of promise, as we see in the reading before us. These Jewish captives, and especially those who obeyed his commands, he is saying to them, and in Isaiah 51, the first word, I'm not sure in the NIV, but in the King James, the word is hearken. You'll notice that in verse 4, and you'll see it again in verse 7. And it means, listen to me, ye captives, especially those of you who, according to what he says in verse 1, those of you that follow after righteousness. So the message is coming to them, exhorting them to bring words of comfort and to rest assured upon the promises. He's saying, I've got something to say to you. Listen. Listen to me, the words that God has given me and coming through me, his servant. And I think that's a good word for us. We need to come into the house of God on the Lord's day, already prepared to listen, not to be distracted, but to listen, for God speaks through his word, through his servant. And we need to be alert and ready to listen to what God is saying. And you will notice it's not only listen, but it is those of you who follow. So we have to listen, but those who follow after righteousness. What a wonderful phrase that is, to follow after godliness, to follow after righteousness. And you will notice that in the word of exhortation, we have seek, listen, follow, and seek. And then finally, he comes to that little word, look. It's all in the word of exhortation. Now, having said that, listen what the Lord is saying to you. Follow righteousness and seek, meaning reach out eagerly for fellowship with God, and look. And that little word look should be connected with verse 2, because we have it again, and he's telling them where to look. Look unto the rock. Whence ye are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence ye are digged. What a word. And he's referring the rock, verse 2. Look unto Abraham and Sarah that bear you. So what we have here is, he is in the exhortation telling them to look back to your small beginning, where Abraham, a worshipper of idols, living in idolatry in the Ur of the Chaldees in Mesopotamia, look what God has done and how God worked. He was hewn, he was cut out of the rock. He was mined out of the rock, and he was brought out from that paganism. Look back, Isaiah is telling them, to see what God has done for you. Trust him. Now, it's good to look back for a believer. It's not good to always dwell upon the things of the past. I think I should point that out to you. Not always the best thing to do to dwell upon the pride of accomplishment. Look what I have done from the past. Or to look back continually to past failures in our lives. But I think it is important to look back spiritually. For those of us who claim to be believers, what God has done for us. After all, David looked back. Is it not Psalm 140, verse 1, verse 2? He lifted me from the pit. He brought me out, and he put a new song in my mouth. And Paul, he looked back, looking back to what he was and what God had done for him. And then when Paul, speaking about the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, you will remember he points out, he gives a whole list of the sins of such wickedness that they were in. And then he says in chapter 6, I believe it's verse 10, but he says, and such were some of you. And so there were others that looked back. And I think that it a lesson for us this morning is we must never forget that we have been quarried out, picked out by sovereign grace, lifted out of the mire and set our feet upon the rock Christ Jesus, whom he had put a new song into our mouth. And the more we see that, the more we bring praise to our lips. Oh, when we take a look back and we see what God has done, we are, well, it just magnifies. It magnifies forgiveness and righteousness and the activity of God in our lives. So, brothers and sisters, if you want to overflow, if you want to be ablaze with praise to God, then look back and see what you were and now what you are by the sovereign grace of God. And he, in this exhortation, you will notice that as he goes on in 3, verse 3, 4, 5, and 6, that he is making a very, very important and a serious pronouncement. And it's all about the continuation or perpetuity, perpetual, that which is everlasting and that which is going to continue forever and ever. And so he's saying again, I say to you, he's saying, look to the promises that God has made. Don't get weary. The Lord, verse 3, shall comfort Zion. He's speaking to those, I say again, who are in captivity in Babylon. For the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places. What a promise. Her wilderness, like Eden. Her desert, like the garden of the Lord. And gladness, joy and gladness shall be found therein thanksgiving and the voice of melody. Listen, he's saying again. Listen, listen. Listen unto me, my people. Give ear unto me, O my nation, for the law shall proceed from me, and I will make my judgment to rest for a light of the people. Notice now, and here is something of great interest. My righteousness is near. My salvation is gone forth. Mine arm should judge the people and the isles, the Gentiles, meaning the Gentiles, shall wait upon me, and on mine arm shall they trust. Well, surely these are words of comfort for them. And so in verse 6, we come to that which brings it to a climax, because he is making a contrast between things that are temporal and things that are eternal. And he's saying here, look up. Look down, look around, and look beyond. That's what we have in verse 6. And the things that are temporal are things that are tottering, fleeting away, brittle, not lasting, things that are decaying all around us. Look up at the aerial heavens. They shall vanish away. Look down on the earth, and you will see the same, that there is a dissolving, there is a fleeting away of these things. And we know that empires have come, Roman empires, Greek empires, and oh, so much. But where are they today? And then he says, look around. And what do we see? According to what he says, and they that dwell on earth, they that dwell therein shall die in like manner. So the temporal things are things according to what Peter tells us. You remember there in 2 Peter 3 and 10, they will be dissolved, they will pass away. Now, there's a sad note in this, that so many people today strike deep, deep root into things that are fleeting away, brittle, tottering. Things that are here today and gone tomorrow. In the light of those things that are of eternal value and lasting forever and ever, but they still brush it to one side, and they think it's better to strike root in temporal things. Oh, I trust you are not one of the one of those people that think more of the temporal rather than material, the material things, where there is this decay all around us. Oh, I trust that you're not one of those. It is my heart's desire to think that all of us here, we are those that strike deep, deep root in that which towers above all those things that are vanishing. And here he makes it very clear to us. Notice, but, in verse 6, but, in the light of what we have said, my righteousness. Sorry, my salvation shall be forever, and my righteousness shall not be abolished. Sometimes that's translated my victory. Now, he's not saying salvation, righteousness. Have you noticed? He's saying my. He's telling us the source from where salvation and righteousness come. It's, I say again, not just but salvation, righteousness, but my. And that takes us back into eternity, into that plan in the covenant of grace, in the Trinity, in the Godhead, with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and where Christ comes as the messenger of the covenant to earth, to unfold and to work out the plan of salvation, so that we may have and enjoy the salvation and the righteousness that comes from him from eternity. Oh, dear ones, this morning, let me say this to you. Do you know, or do you have you received this salvation that comes through the sovereign work of God at Calvary? You may love to be in the church and praise God for that, to sing the songs of Zion, to be with God's people. But oh, have you ever experienced a salvation work of grace, a sovereign act of God, where you have been born again and brought out from darkness into marvelous light? And as we read, is it not in Colossians 1 and verse 10, delivered from the power of darkness? Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful thing it is to know that through salvation that you have received by hearing the word of God. You must hear to believe. And through hearing the word, listen, hearken, receiving the word, and receiving it in that you're on the rock. Oh, dear ones, are you on the rock, Christ Jesus? Have you been hewn out, severed from the bondage of sin and brought to Christ. Young ones here, seek after righteousness. If you haven't come to know God, seek salvation. Follow the Lord and worship Him. And he goes on. He tells us, here, my righteousness. When we have salvation, we have an imputed robe of righteousness. Isn't that wonderful? Imputed and imparted. He takes away our filthy garment and he puts upon us the robe of spotless righteousness. And there I am rendered as one accepted in the beloved. I stand before him as a one having been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah for that work of grace. Do you know anything about this? As God called you out of darkness into marvelous light. Oh, may these truths, may they rest upon your hearts. May they sink, is a better word. May they sink deep into your soul, that you will feast upon the words of salvation and righteousness as an experience. And notice, it says, my righteousness. These are eternal things. They're not material. They're not passing things. They are things that are with us forever once we are a believer. My righteousness and my salvation and my righteousness. Oh, what a word, shall not be abolished. Other things around will fade and will totter and will vanish away. But here is something everlasting and eternal, the righteousness of God, the salvation of God. Oh, may God use this word that we may be those who strike deep, deep root into salvation and righteousness. The Lord bless you. Amen and amen.
Thank you, Ken, for the ministry of God's word.